Thank you. I appreciate those of you who have stayed this long. My talk will be the shortest. We will be done no later than noon and probably a few minutes before. So I did promise a few things. I encourage everybody to come back after lunch to this same room for our afternoon session. Also, we have a poster session today, an organic poster session. A lot of good posters will be presented. Alex Stone did ask me to mention to you, those of you who are familiar at all with the organic, I encourage you to visit with Alex. There's a poster that will talk about some of the changes that have been made to e-organic to make it that much more user-friendly. Okay. I would like to acknowledge the co-authors, Randy Anderson. Randy is with USDA ARS, located in Brookings, South Dakota. Yvonne Lawley and Steve Zwinger, like myself, at North Dakota State University, although Yvonne's going to the University of Manitoba here fairly soon, and Perry Miller at Montana State University. Okay, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to skip over some of these slides because, I mean, you've heard some of this stuff like three times so far, so we're always told that as students to remind them three times, so four times, I think that's enough, okay? I am going to talk about tillage quickly, and then Bob and I are kind of from the same area, but he emphasized erosion. I'm going to talk about something a little bit different. And then I'm going to give you a very quick status report of where we are in the Northern Great Plains. And then I'm going to end a little bit different and just identify some of the researchers in our area who are working on it. Okay? Okay. I think we are aware of some of the negative consequences that can result when tillage is used. Okay, it can destroy soil structure, it can reduce soil organic matter levels and microbial biomass, it can increase evaporation, and it can diminish overall sustainability of a system. The one we are most sensitive to in the Northern Great Plains, very different from you in some other areas, is its impact on evaporation. And why? Okay, this table has lifted some selected data from cropping system studies, very good ones, across the Northern Great Plains, the Great Plains, through much of the 20th century. And you can see a very clear relationship between tillage and stored soil water. As tillage operations decreased from as many as 10 to as few as 0, stored soil water increased from 4 to over 7 inches. And that translated directly into a yield enhancement for wheat up from 16 to 40. Water is what limits our crop production in the Great Plains. It's water. So anything we can do to conserve soil water, we are going to do. So what is the interest among the no-till growers in this type of system? Water savings. How dry are we? Havre, Montana, total annual precip, 12 inches. The high range, Gillette, Wyoming, total annual precip, 17 inches. We're dry. Okay? Randy Anderson, with, as I mentioned, ARS, has published a paper recently, September issue of Renewable Agriculture and Food Systems. Look at it if you're curious. He talks about using crop rotation as a tool to suppress weeds and reduce tillage. Okay? Not talking about the role of crimper necessarily, crop rotation. But most of us who are working on this concept of organic zero-till, which Kathleen doesn't like the acronym, and so I'm going to use OZ, so that if you see OZ, it's organic zero-till. And there are good reasons not to like it, but I mean, I use acronyms. So we're looking at a cover crop system. You've heard about this already. The big two have been winter rye and hairy vetch, and we're not alone. We're looking at a lot of other potential cover crop species. Other spring-seeded. Small grains like spring rye, there is spring rye. Buckwheat and other warm season broadleaf crops. Other winter wheat, winter triticale, those have been mentioned. Mixtures, big in the Great Plains right now. Cover crop polycultures are real big, like 7 and 8 species mixtures. Okay, we're looking at other legume alternatives like fava bean to hairy vetch, the fava bean being seeded in the spring. Warm season grasses like Sudan grass. And then mixtures of hairy vetch and rye with other species. But we're not, I mean, everybody's doing this, so. Okay, you've heard about the system and a lot of reliance on the roller crimper, and if the Amish manufacturers could take a break, they probably would, because I think they got called by everybody. And we found, actually, it was like 300% cheaper for us to purchase it from Pennsylvania, have it shipped out to North Dakota than it was to purchase it or to build it locally. Okay, now you've seen images like this, and we have too, and this is what excites people. Pretty good looking corn crop going through killed hairy vetch mulch. Later in the season, that's impressive. That impresses the conventional no-till guys. Soybean growing through rye. No-till organic, I always ask the groups, okay, this is pretty good conventional no-till soybean. They all say yeah, and I say it's organic. So, I mean, this excites people. Okay, we have the same images in the Northern Great Plains. Perry Miller's work, rolling Austrian winter pea in Montana 2008. This is at Dickinson. That's hairy vetch, killed. There's some corn. What you don't see are a lot of weeds, okay? But to be honest with you, we have been able to identify a lot more challenges that need to be overcome than we have been able to demonstrate success. Okay, those are pinto beans. A lot of volunteering rye. That was rolled and crimped, okay? A lot of volunteering rye. They may not be too concerned about that in Iowa. All I have to do is show a slide like that in North Dakota and we're done. I mean, they are not impressed with that at all, okay? Okay, there, now this next one, that's supposed to be corn. Okay, this was planted into a hairy vetch cover crop, rolled crimped. You see some volunteering hairy vetch and a lot of other junk. So Kathleen, I think, has hit that one pretty good. We did harvest the volunteering rye. We got 5 bushels per acre, but it was small. It's small. It's a lousy rye yield, but small kernels. That translated into over 5 million rye kernels per acre. We're going to have a volunteering problem next year and the year after. And that's why conventional growers in North Dakota, they don't like rye. Market's not too great, but they don't like rye because of the volunteering problem. But we're not alone, and I think you've heard that, so I don't have to. This actually was taken off the Rodale webpage. There's some weeds in there, okay? So it's a challenge. But I guess that's one thing I want to, if you're not familiar with conventional no-till, and you're younger than I am, which more and more people are every year, a lot younger, okay? It's really interesting. Go back and look at what they were saying about conventional no-till 50 years ago. It's exactly the same thing they're talking about today with organic no-till. Can't be done. You're foolish to try it. So it's interesting how history repeats itself. And that's why I'm encouraging some of you in the room maybe to persist. We're shooting for organic zero-till. Okay, what's the current status? And I wasn't going to go over this, but you've heard this enough. This, you know, we're doing the same thing everybody else is. Okay? But we do have problems. And that... this plot looks pretty good. You know, you can see the rolled, crimped rye. That's pinto bean. This plot, same plot, just different times in the growing season. A lot of volunteering rye. Okay, now, we have found that we need, in order to get any kind of consistency and termination, to roll and crimp late. How late? In terms of soft, small grains so far, we tend to roll at the water kernel ripe stage or a little bit later. You can't get too late, but we have found when we try to do it earlier, we are for sure going to get regrowth. Okay. In terms of hairy vetch, we wait until very early pod formation. Then we can get consistent termination. We try any earlier, it does not die in our environment. And that's Steve's published one paper, and then I don't know the other author, but there's work recently and there's work in the past to support this. So it's like everything I do. I'm not discovering anything. I mean, it's been done before, but I'm verifying it is true in our region as well. Okay. And John, you still here? Great. Okay. In terms of how much residue do you need? Now, our environment might be a little bit different. I'm kind of thinking in our environment, if we get 5,000 pounds per acre or more of dry matter produced by a cover crop, we're going to be pretty good for suppressing weeds in our environment. Okay. In some years, we can't even do that with winter rye if it's really, really dry. But most years, it's not going to be a problem. Hairy vetch has been more of a challenge, and it has to do with planting date, as Kathleen talked about. And I think in our environment, we have to plant the hairy vetch in August. If we plant it any later than August, we're not going to have a chance, or about a month earlier at least, than when we would typically plant winter wheat. Okay, now, in terms of the perennials, This is pretty cool images, I thought. I took this a couple years ago with my wife when she was dragging me out for a run. That's field bindweed. That's our real, I mean, we have Canada thistle, but our concern in western North Dakota is field bindweed. That's field bindweed. That's growing through asphalt, okay? If it can grow, established field bindweed can grow through asphalt, I don't think any annual cover crop we grow is going to be able to produce biomass that's going to suppress it, okay? Great. Nobody's talked about this, and I don't want to open up this can of worms. There are products, herbicides, that you can use that, and some are legal. And we have done some early evaluations of this in North Dakota. This green match, now I'm not promoting green match, but necessarily, but you can use it legally in North Dakota in certified organic systems, legally, okay, by both state and federal standards. It can be used, and we have found it does have some efficacy, weed controllability, relative to a check, okay? So we've been able to demonstrate that, and in fact, there is one chemical that we're going to begin to evaluate at Dickinson that also is supposed to have some systemic activity, okay? So there are tools out there. Okay, now, Bob did mention this. We're cold up there. We've already had two blizzards so far, okay? We have a short growing season as it is. We cannot shorten it anymore. We're rolling and crimping our cover crops in order to get consistent termination in late June. It starts snowing in July. Not quite, but I mean, we just don't have that long growing season. So trying to take the Rodale system and just stick it in North Dakota is not going to work. Do I think we can make the system work? I really do, but we're going to have to really tweak it a lot to make it work in our environment, okay? Our other problem is it's really dry in July and August also, so we can't, I haven't figured it out, I'm just not smart enough, but if you guys can figure out a way to grow corn on 6 inches of water, let us know. Hey, so who are some of the researchers? Perry Miller up at the front here. I personally don't think Perry gets the credit that he deserves. I mean, he's generating published literature on organic farming research. There aren't too many people in the States who have been able to do that yet in the Great Plains. But Perry's looking at cover crop species, planting rate and date studies, and kill method and date studies. In Nebraska, there's Charles Shapiro, and I know he's here someplace. Charles? A few years ago in terms of picture, but okay. And Stephen Knezovic, they're both working on systems that reduce tillage. Okay, in North Dakota, there's myself, Steve Zwinger, along with Yvonne, Frank Kutka, and then farmer cooperators. And we're all working with farmer cooperators. You know, there's not enough time to mention them all, but they're essential to the system. And then oftentimes they lead us. They tell us what to do, and then I'm sure they talk about us when we're not around. Okay, and then there's Randy Anderson. Randy's at South Dakota. I mentioned his concept paper. And then in Wyoming, there's Jim Krall. If you're not familiar with Wyoming a few years ago did establish a sustainable ag research and extension center near Lingle. And they're gearing up. They have been pretty successful getting grants. They are going to move into this area. And for sure, they're going to be working in reduced till type systems. So I'm Pat Carr. Like I said, it's short and sweet, and it's also pretty close to the lunch hour. So I do thank everybody for attending this. I think there's been a lot of excellent presentations today. I would ask if all the speakers could stay for 45 seconds when we're done. I just need to visit with you briefly. Thanks.